whale's vagina.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
All right, Ted.
Here we are.
We're sitting in Ted's backyard. We're together. We got a fire going. Yeah, I mean, we have...
Had a nice dinner.
Yeah, what is it, episode 80?
Episode 80.
All right, episode 80, and Ted makes a stop at Handy Market.
That's right.
So his thing, I told him, I said, Ted, you know, why don't you go to Handy Market, and, you know, I'd love to get there, go there with you, but I wasn't able to because we just got here kind of late.
Yeah.
So the main thing with getting over to Handy Market and stuff, Ted decides he's going to get some, like, kick-ass... I don't know, cinnamon coffee roasted stout malted mix. I don't even know what that thing is.
The barrel aged bee bomb.
Barrel aged bee bomb.
That's right. Fremont, because beer matters.
Well, yeah, beer does matter. So, Ted, we've been waiting a while for this beer, and it's been sitting out. We have a fire, and it's probably getting warm. How about we crack this thing?
Cool. I'm a little scared of the wax, though.
Why?
Because I don't want to cut myself.
Of the wax?
Dark?
No, pull the string.
Oh, is that what the string's for?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was what's the string for. No, that's not what the string's for.
Are you serious?
There's no string on that.
Broke off.
All right, it's just wax, and I'm probably going to cut myself. For the cause. Oh.
Why don't we just do the what we're watching and get that going?
Okay. You start while I
play. Oh, you want me to start? Okay. All right. So we covered murder mystery and I don't know, like 10 weeks ago or something? Mm-hmm. No, maybe not that long ago. How long ago?
Murder mystery. Yeah. I think.
Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler.
Right.
Yeah. So, what I would say is...
Did you watch it?
Yeah, we watched it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was short. It was like an hour and what? A little over an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, what is this we're drinking? Fremont something or other?
Fremont B-Bomb. The limited 2018 release. It's coffee cinnamon barrel-aged B-Bomb.
Oh, is this one of mine?
Serious.
All right, salute. Hey, it's not often we're together, buddy.
No.
All right, here's the friends. Wow, that's pretty incredible.
It's amazing. What's the ABV? What's your ABV guess?
If I had to guess, I would say 9.6.
9.6. So specific.
Yeah. What do you see?
14%
alcohol by volume. All right. Wow, okay.
But the cinnamon and the chocolate... And
you won't even notice.
No, the cinnamon and the coffee and the... There's
good thing Frank's not here. He'd fall down again. No, so murder mystery.
Yes.
Like I said, Jennifer Aniston.
A quick watch.
Yeah, quick watch. It was like, I think, an hour 37 or something, you know? And the thing that I got out of it, though, is it hit all the points of Netflix. Like we always talk about, Netflix aggregates data.
Right.
And I think it hits all the data, right? So in no particular order, well, we got a plane going overhead. So in no particular order, it has the French bumbling inspector, like Clouseau, right?
Yeah.
High speed car chase, big boobs, lots of money, good looking people, obviously murder. The simple foreigner who, like, you know, they ask him a question and he's like the race car driver. So they're like, so how are you? And he screams, "I'll finish line." You know, like the simple foreigner, like it just, it's all the data marks, you know? Right. So I don't know. It was okay. I mean, it was fun. Adam Sandler was a little too annoying, I think.
You know, you realize Adam Sandler's movies since what? 50 First Dates? 50 First Dates is him and Drew Barrymore in Hawaii.
Right.
Ever since then, every single movie he's done has like, it's just a vacation. It's a vacation spot. It was like,
well, he probably wants to travel, and this is, he writes it into this. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
No, but you know, but I think the thing about it though is like he was a little like I felt like he was punching the clock.
Really?
You know, I felt like he was saying like, you know, like I really don't want to be here, but I probably signed on to some agreement I forgot about, so I need to get this going and everything. And I mean, entertaining for sure. The one thing today, though, so they had the Magnum PI Ferrari, and Adam Sandler was like, oh, my God, you know, it was that thing where, like,
He jumps in the wrong side.
He gets in the wrong side stuff, exactly. Yeah. So today we're driving in to L.A. from Lompoc, and there's this black helicopter zips by us, and Clarice is like, oh my god, that's a cool helicopter and stuff. And it was like the Magnum PI helicopter, you know,
like Airwolf.
No, it was even smaller than that. It was like the small little Magnum PI helicopter
with the little round thing.
Yeah, it was so cool. And I'm like, oh, Magnum PI. And then the other thing we watched was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, wait, I have one last question.
Oh, there. Sure.
So, mystery date, did you see...
No.
Mystery night. Mystery...
Murder mystery.
Murder mystery. Doesn't matter.
Oh, and then it was also like a play on Clue.
Right, okay.
Without having... I don't know if that's where you were going.
Well, I was going to say, did you watch Game Night?
No. Oh, we got to do that.
Game Night was really good.
Yeah. Okay.
I wanted to get a comparison of the two.
So we'll watch Game Night. Yeah.
So you watch Game Night this week, and I'll watch Murder Mystery.
Yeah.
My friend said he doesn't want to watch it at all, and it kept showing up on the top of his queue, and he couldn't find the continue to watch what he was watching.
Like, oh yeah, that happened to us.
I hate that.
We were gonna go back and watch, like, I think we were gonna watch Ant-Man or something, and like we're like, where's Ant-Man? And this thing kept popping up, and we're like, fine, I'll bite, I'll do it, you know. No, but I think it like calls into Clue a little bit, right? Okay. So at the end, they're like, oh well, it, you know, because she reads murder mystery novels, and then it's like, oh well, it's, you know, whatever, like the race. Okay, I won't tell you, but
we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, all but right. It's this guy, and then he did it this way, and then this person turned out the lights, and then this person did that, and then this person, you know, and you're just like, you know, they kind of like, they have to explain exactly how it all went down at the end, even though you watched everything.
For the logic, just for the...
Exactly. As if the audience... The audience is too dumb. Right. No, and then we watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
I like the original Ant-Man better.
I knew 100% that you would.
Yeah. I did prefer... What is his name? Maurice? The Mexican, Maurice.
You liked his story in this one better?
What I liked... I didn't think the story was as good, but what I liked was everybody who played their part in the story did his mannerisms.
Oh. Yeah, they did that in the first one.
Did they?
They did. It was a different story. You might have been a little caught off guard, but yeah.
Maybe I was looking for it in this one. And then when they got there, I was like, we're here.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I think that might have been it too, because we're like, oh, so all of a sudden it's like I've been looking for it, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. They're going to come up with a Maurice story somewhere.
It's got to be here.
It pops up, and I'm like, boom, here we go. You know? So it was one of those things where now I'm, like, way into it, where before it was, like, more spur of the moment, and I didn't really notice
it. You didn't know what to expect in the first one.
So the other question I have, too, is, so Stan Lee has his cameo, as he always does.
Yes.
When was I didn't do any research, but when was this released for when he passed away? And I mean, is he still doing these or yes. Okay, so
he's in both Captain Marvel and Endgame.
Okay.
My baby.
And then he passed away?
Stanley.
Yes.
He passed away before the release of Captain Marvel.
Mm.
So
but he already filmed his parts.
He already filmed his parts in both of those.
Okay, because when he came into this one, the thing I love, though, when, like, you know, they're doing all their Ant-Man stuff, shrinking and getting big and all the thing, and he said something, oh, the 60s was great, but now it's catching up to me or something, you know? It's like he's hitting all that acid, you know? But overall, though, I mean, I liked it, you know? It was, again...
It got over the top. It doesn't have the same small scope of Ant-Man, you know?
Yeah, but I think... I like that, the same small scope as Ant-Man. No, but I think, though... It wasn't an enormous explosion movie the way the other ones... And like I mentioned this last week, when you look at Marvel movies and you have the one-offs, like if it's a Captain America or if it's an Ant-Man or something,
yeah,
they typically are smaller in scale, but when the whole crew's together, that's when the like blow up the earth nonsense happens.
Right.
Anyway, those are the two
what you're watching.
Main things we watched. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you watching?
So I haven't watched much this week because we recorded on Monday. So
it's definitely a short week.
We haven't had but 3 days here, so I've been working really hard.
Well, let me stop really quick. Yeah. So one thing about like why we don't watch a lot of stuff during the work year, like I'm off for the summer right now, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm doing training and stuff for mountain biking, et cetera, et cetera. But the main thing is now that we don't have to go to work, well, Clarissa still does, but I don't necessarily have to.
Right.
And we stay up a little bit later, so now we have more time to watch stuff. You know, we get up a little bit later, you know, we do all that kind of thing. With that, it just gives us more time to, like, veg in front of the idiot box. Well, nowadays, the idiot panel.
Right.
So that's why we've been watching more stuff lately, because I'm on break. But as far as, like, you know, once August, September rolls around and I'm back at work and stuff, then it goes back to, like, one show a week, you know? But anyway, sorry to cut you off, but you've been minimal.
Minimal, and I haven't watched anything. All my hours have been spent just brainstorming marketing ideas for Bitcast. So
for Trailer Junkies Podcast.
No, for Trailer Junkies Podcast. It's all podcasting all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For Ted. I know Ted gets a hold of me today. He's like, "What's your favorite bike podcast?" And I'm like, "Oh, here's all my podcasts."
Here's 60 bike podcasts.
I'm thinking Ted's looking for something to listen to. And I come to find out he's like trying to like market everybody in the community, you know. So you don't watch much then,
or
anything.
I watch these trailers. That's about it.
Oh, wow, man, that is a short week for you.
We did rent a movie to watch.
We rented The Upside to watch, but we have not had an evening where our daughter wasn't watching Harry Potter.
Redbox?
No, the library. Library gets it. You get it for a week.
For free.
Oh, we do the library too.
Yeah,
we love it.
Yeah, yeah. We just did a Lego Ninjaga.
Mm-hmm.
And some Star Wars thing. I don't know.
Star Wars, the second piece?
No.
Second part?
No, it was some Star Wars Lego thing. And then, so how about we...
jump into the Midway.
Yeah. Oh, you want to do Midway first?
I don't know. How did you...
I was thinking Midway second, because it's the Midway. Right?
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. All right, let's go to Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
So, a woman empowerment movie, yet they all still look gorgeous.
Yeah.
Is there any conflict of interest there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I'm just asking. Or does it minimize the empowerment in some way?
Not at all.
I think they should look more every person.
They are every people.
You're saying they're too good looking.
It's Jasmine.
They're beautiful.
It's Jasmine.
That's what I'm getting at.
I agree with you. They
yeah.
look like normal people.
Okay, so
wants to be.
So if you guys, hey, time out. If you guys are going to be in the show, you got to get closer to the mic.
Oh, no, we're not in the show. We're going to be live.
Okay, Ted, here's another question. Yeah. Speaking of good looking Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
You had the Farrah Fawcett poster in your room when you were a kid.
No, I did not.
No?
Yes. No, I did not.
Oh, I totally did.
No.
You know, with the hair. Yeah, the feathered hair.
I did not. A little younger than you two.
Oh.
Flying hair.
Oh, I totally... Hey, like I said, if you're going to be in the show, get at the mic.
We moved over here so we would deliberately not be in the show.
Like, instead, we're going to hear mumbling. Anne agrees with me that it's a woman empowerment movie, but they're all too beautiful.
Right. And I'm not saying there's something wrong with being beautiful. I'm just saying... They're so beautiful.
Well, the point I'm getting at when I say that is they're these good-looking women, yet, okay, it's women empowerment, but yet they're beautiful, so men objectify them to go to the movies to watch them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it's a question of who's in control of the situation. If she's in control of the situation, then it's not exploitative.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you're looking at being exploitive.
It's not.
Right, okay. Yeah, I get that. And then I do like the Gal Bosley angle.
Right, right.
You know, rather than the fat pudgy guy from back in the day.
And then they make a big deal that it's Elizabeth Banks And Elizabeth Banks produced, and Elizabeth Banks directed, and I think she wrote it too. So I think she did a lot of.
So she had the heavy hand in this. So more women empowerment. Then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not McG back in the day.
Right.
Can you believe that was 20 years ago? That was 2000.
It's incredible. Well, the thing that's incredible is like that 2000 was almost 20 years
that's
ago.
That's what I'm saying. The 2000 was the Drew Barrymore, you know, crew.
Or more I'm thinking is like 2000 doesn't seem that long ago, yet it's 20 years ago. And then Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yes.
So in the original show, you never saw Charlie. He's not Charlie, is he?
He's not Charlie. He's like Boswell's assistant or something like that. I don't know. I don't know the hierarchy, but that's
Patrick Stewart, like Mr. Shakespeare himself, is like
Sir Patrick.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And the guy's like an assistant to Bosley? I mean, come on.
Well, you know what he turned down? He turned down the role in the Emoji Movie for the piece of shit.
No.
It was the Pooh father.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. He accepted that role. I'm sorry. Jordan Peele turned it down and quit acting when he was offered that role. I'm sorry. I mixed my.
So, wait, Jordan Peele is offered a pile of poop.
Yes.
Like, literally.
Yes.
And then at that point, he's like, I'm done as an actor.
I'm so disgusted. I'm only going to write and direct from here on out.
Yet Sir Patrick Stewart says, I'll take it.
Life's too short. I'll do it.
Wow. That's incredible.
Immortalize me in poo.
Have you heard him speak? Just
saying. But the most sultry. That guy is amazing as an actor, though.
Yes.
I've heard stories about him, like, on stage solo in, like, a tweed jacket, like, carrying out, like, Macbeth and all this stuff. I mean, the guy's incredible.
I've seen him live.
And saw him do Othello.
In the photo negative.
He was Othello, and the rest of the cast was black.
Wait, what? What do you mean he was the rest of the cast? Like, so as in black people?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So African American.
In the original version, Othello is the quote unquote Moor. He is the black pigmented person. The rest of the
How about you guys come around the mic? No, I'm serious. You keep telling me you don't want to be in the show, and then you keep chiming in, so it's like, just get over here.
Okay. One more time.
Okay, so in the original Othello is the quote-unquote Moor, the black pigmented person. The rest of the cast is Caucasian.
Okay.
Sir Patrick did Othello at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C., and I saw it, and he was Othello, and he was Caucasian, and the rest of the cast was some sort of pigmented skin.
Okay.
And it was amazing. And he signed my playbill.
Wow. Well, you got a signed playbill from Patrick Stewart?
We'll put the picture in
show. Wait, there's still more of this?
Yeah. You haven't even drank any.
More being beer, not people of pigmented skin color.
Is there a
little
more?
It's really, really good. No, just have
Clarissa wants some.
So, here, I got a lot over here. Just have some of mine. I mean, this thing is like drinking like a chocolate cinnamon milkshake or something at 14%. I'm going to be smashed.
You should try.
No, thanks.
You have just a little sip. You don't need a lot of it. So, overall, Charlie's Angels. I mean, you know, it looks cute. It looks action-packed. It looks one of those movies like whether you're at home in the theater is irrelevant, but you're going to go into it expecting a good time. Mm-hmm. You're going to leave knowing that you watched something that was somewhat fun. It's just an average, you know, it's like a Ocean's 11 kind of movie or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I mean, you just know it's going to be a fun movie to watch and then, like, you're finished. Are you going to see it?
Yes. I'm excited to see what Elizabeth Banks has to offer to this, you know, actioner comedy space.
Okay.
She's incredibly, you know, a great comedic writer and actress, so it's going to be amazing.
Amazing. Ted thinks it's going to be amazing. I mean, you're probably right about that. I don't know. All right.
We'll see it on Tuesday, right, baby?
On a Tuesday. Yes, we'll see it on a Tuesday.
Oh, because you get like the $5 off or something?
$6 now.
I want to come and see it on
Tuesday. Wait, where do you guys go?
AMC.
Because I was talking to my cousin Frank last night.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying that on Tuesdays, he goes around, because he lives over in Westwood.
Right.
And he goes around the corner from his house, And it's like $5 a night, ticket.
Tuesday. On Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays.
I wonder if our AMC does it on a Tuesday.
It's got to be nationwide.
We don't have an AMC.
No, we have an Edwards.
Dang it.
Don't Is Edwards the same as AMC?
Nope.
SOB.
I wonder if they do it on a Wednesday.
That's true. I mean, we could do
just
that.
Call them. Check up.
Yeah, just be like, "What night is your?" Don't even ask. Don't even ask. Just say. Don't even say. Do you have? Just say, "What night is your discount night?"
Okay, wait. I looked it up. Patrick Stewart was cast as the second Bosley.
The second Bosley. Not the first.
There's two Bosleys.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
How do you have two Bosleys? A man and a woman. Sisters and brother and sister.
Why is Anne looking stuff up? This is not the way we roll.
And we go off. Anne, we go off the cuff. We don't know what we're talking about. And listeners yell at us.
Don't call her out, and then she looks even better.
All right, the good liar. I have an interesting thing about this.
Now that we say the good liar, I'm going to say X-Men representing. Because we have Magneto and Professor Xavier in two of our trailers tonight.
That's it.
What?
There you go.
That's it. I thought the same thing.
Did I steal your line?
No, I wouldn't say you stole my line, but we were thinking along the same lines.
Right.
Because I was like, wait a minute. We're looking at, you know, again, more Marvel stuff, but we're looking at X-Men.
Yeah.
And like you said, Magneto and Xavier.
Right.
The other side of it, too, though, I love how Helen Mirren, she calls the internet the computer service. It's like my mom, Jim, I was on that Google, and I was looking for, you know, whatever it is, right? I'm on that Google. But yeah, when she's like, oh, have you ever dated on that computer service or whatever it was? I'm just like, really? It's called the internet, woman.
My favorite part was every time she walked on, I was thinking about Documentaries Now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I did, too. I'm like, darn it, there she is. But can we say though, this is the old folks, you've got mail?
You've got mail. Yeah. I don't know.
First of all, there's no murder in You've Got Mail.
Okay, sure.
I don't
but
think
like
murder in this. Is there murder in this?
The guy no. They imply the guy throws the dude in front of the train and the tube.
Did you not pay attention to the trailer?
I guess I missed that part.
It's highly...
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Can we pause it so I can watch it?
No, but it implies that he pushed him in front of the tube train. But here's what I thought was the most interesting, though, was the end. Mm-hmm. So when the letters go to red and they want to show liar...
Right.
They do it in the almost exact way as how the Netflix end comes across.
Oh, really?
And I watched it. I was like, oh, this is on that. No, it's not.
You had a Pavlovian response to red on the screen.
but what they did, they show the red line, and then like the red line kind of like expands into Netflix, right?
Right.
They showed the red line, but it expanded into liar.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, it's on that. No, it's not. What?
Good liar? What?
And the reason I bring that up is it that when you see that, people are like, oh, sure, I'm going to go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a no-brainer. Right? But now, with something like this, and you see it, you're thinking, like, you're automatically thinking, boom, I'm going to go see this.
Right.
And you're like, oh, it's not Netflix. All right, screw it. I'm going to go see it anyway.
You think they're getting people halfway over the hurdle of going to the theater by faking the fact that it's might be on Netflix?
Faking the fact, or maybe, like, I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where, like, they're collecting the data, you know? It goes back to what I said about murder mystery, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Murder mystery hits all the points. And as you're watching it, you know, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to be like, oh, it hit that, it hit this, it hit that. It's just all the points. And I think with the Netflix logo and like spoofing the Netflix logo, you're hitting the point.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Good Liar. I mean, I think it looks interesting.
I just wanted to say the music and the rapidity of the editing in it is amazing. Like,
I think the trailer is great.
So we watched the show with a kid. Kids called Brain Games.
Brain Games is one of the movie watch. Yes.
They were talking about how the brain plays tricks on you through lighting and sound cues.
Okay.
Like they showed a clip of a supposed movie. Right? With no sound, no lighting, just normal.
Sure.
Then they showed it with, like, uplifting music and lighting, and then they showed it with thriller horror. And I think they do this, it just reinforces the fact with this trailer. Like, the sound cues and the lighting and the way they cut it, it's like, whoa, like, he's like, he seems like a genuinely nice guy, and then it's
until
like,
the turn.
Until the turn, you're like, "Whoa, what's that all about?"
Well, and I mean, think about it though. You're watching any horror film, and the scary part oftentimes isn't even scary. It's just they throw some like loud music at you, and you jump. You know, and you're like, "Well, like,
don't go into that house all by yourself."
Hey. Just watch it to the end, man. Just watch it to the end.
That's right.
That's Ted's favorite. The title. I mean, I would assume that Magneto is just lies.
He's a liar.
He's good at it.
But I think they're both good at it. Doesn't it feel like Helen's good at it?
Yes. Helen's good at lying because she keeps telling me that the first season of Documentary Now is season 50. So
what's there not to believe when she speaks? She just sounds so believable.
You know, of course she's lying to me and she's good at it and straight-faced. I mean, come on.
Did you not watch Glee when she was...
I didn't watch Glee.
You didn't turn it off.
So now that everybody has seen the trailer to the American Liar, no, the British Liar, the Good Liar.
The British Liar.
British even when British tell the truth, well, no, even when British lie, you'd think they're telling the truth.
They because, do it with class.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're just exactly. So brilliant.
They just sound so fantastic.
Clarissa, your first thoughts.
There you go, yeah.
My first thoughts.
Get her closer.
Dude, I don't know. It's like almost like it's like... You got mail or something, and then...
That's what I said!
It's true,
she's
though!
She's riffing. Love you.
And then...
Keep talking, something pithy will come out.
Thank you. And then it is definitely murder mystery.
Ah. It's Agatha Christie, not murder
mystery. No, you're right.
Yes,
no.
Agatha Christie, yes.
Anne, you're so right. It is Agatha Christie. Yeah.
Right.
There is a twist, and when he says, is this your grandson, is that a leveraging point? Like, is he... trying to find something that makes her vulnerable.
Mm. Well, can I say, what if it were Tom Hanks?
Yes, and Meg Ryan.
Thanks for filling in the blanks. I couldn't remember.
Thanks.
So if it's Tom Hanks and Meg, can you see Tom Hanks going and pushing someone in front of a train?
No, but that's Gandalf the Grey. I mean,
it's true.
I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. What if the person on the train... Or that he pushes is a volleyball.
Well,
oh my goodness. All right.
I'm just saying, we still don't really know who that person is. And did you clearly see Ian's face doing the pushing?
No, I mean, but it's certainly implied. But you're right. I mean, it could be...
Yeah, definitely implied. But
yeah, I mean, it can be like any movie that you think... And there's always twists and stuff. I mean, obviously.
I thought it was a very compelling trailer. I like them both.
You want to see that the first Tuesday comes out?
Tuesday? We've got a lot of movies stacking up on Tuesday.
That's $12.
You taking the day off? What are you doing?
So Midway.
Midway.
Oh, wait a minute. We were supposed to do Midway.
No, we did.
This is still number
Didn't
two.
Did we do Midway?
We've only done one.
No, we did Charlie's Angels and the Good Liar. Oh. Now we're on.
Now we do Midway at the end.
No.
Midway should have been in the middle.
Oh, wow.
Do I do editing magic or just roll with it?
Just roll with it, man.
Okay, so really quick, though. Yes. Dennis Quaid's in this?
Yes.
I haven't seen the trailer, I'm not going to lie.
I haven't seen
it
either.
But wouldn't they have been better off with Randy Quaid?
What?
I mean, it is the director of Independence Day, after all.
Awesome.
Maybe he has a cameo. We don't know.
That's it, man.
Right there.
You know, he was a pilot in that movie.
I was just going to say, I see him with his mask, trying to make his children proud.
Totally. And then, you know, the thing, though, I think that's cool about this is, like, there's a lot of, like, you know, Torah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, all the Pearl Harbor type stuff.
Wait, like, have you seen Torah, Torah, Torah?
I have.
We own it.
No, but, you know, you don't really see a lot of the Battle of Midway.
Well, I think they're saving it for the movie. I thought it was strange to start, even though it's called Midway, when they showed Pearl Harbor.
I mean, in the history of movie making, you don't see a lot of Midway movies. Okay. That's what I meant by that, yeah.
Well, there's the Battle of Midway, right?
Midway Airport in Chicago is named after the Battle of Midway.
All right, there you go.
I'm going to look it up.
A little trivia for you.
You don't need to fact check me.
He's from Chicago.
No, I'm looking up movies about the USS Midway.
Oh, wait, it's the ship the Midway or the island the Midway?
What? I don't know.
Which
one? I thought it's USS Midway.
Oh, that's a good question now. See, I thought it was the island of Midway or the Battle of Midway.
The Battle of Midway.
Oh. Which Midway?
Which Midway is it?
So the ship is named after the battle, maybe?
I would assume so. All right, Anne, look it up. Be our fact checker.
I'm an art historian, not a World War historian.
Oh, come on.
No. I know there's the USS Midway.
Right.
And I know there's the Battle of Midway.
Oh, you're right. It's the Battle of Midway. It's for the island.
But I don't know what this movie's got to be about the Battle of Midway.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Have you been to the ship?
I think we've been to the ship too many times.
Where's the ship?
San Diego. It's the museum.
It's in the whale's vagina. Ask Ron Burgundy, he'll tell you.
That is fantastic.
But wait, you've never seen Anchorman. How could you know that?
Hell yeah.
Okay. The Battle of Midway was a decisive naval battle in the Pacific Theater of World War II.
Yeah.
It took place between June 4 and 7, 1942.
Isn't it the Midway Atoll?
Oh, an atoll.
Oh, my God. Another one.
Yes. Midway Atoll. Good job.
Come on. You know. Come on.
Just saying, that's up there with whale's vagina.
And next time, louder in the mic so I can cut that out.
Okay, that is it. That is the cut.
Do all this history, but yes.
So the one thing I did like about the trailer, and I'm sure obviously you're going to see it in the movie, you look at the CGI and you're looking down from like the top of the hill onto the harbor, and you see the smoke, the explosions, you know, the Japanese Zeros coming in, shooting, dropping torpedoes, the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And you see all that happening, and I think it really, like, it's so lifelike. It's not black and white footage.
Right.
You know, I mean, which obviously is the real deal. But it's so lifelike that it's like, damn, man, I'm like there in this thing.
But I mean, did you like Pearl Harbor, the Michael Bay movie?
Was that the one with Ben Affleck?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would. I'm 50-50 on it.
I loved it.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it.
I loved it. I loved the...
Versus Torah, Torah, Torah.
Yeah, you know, I think so. I liked Pearl Harbor more than Torah, Torah, Torah.
Well, I think I bought them both for you at the same time.
Here's the thing. Like, I liked the movie, but then when they did the Doolittle raid... And you know what the Doolittle raid was, right?
I'll just nod and say yes.
Okay, that's when they bombed Tokyo, right? They bombed Tokyo. And then they had to ditch it in the...
Midway.
Well, they ditched it, you know, and then they went back, you know.
Okay. Midway meaning halfway through the...
That's it, Midway.
Midway is a lot of entendres.
Midway between
the
what?
Middle point of the plan execution.
Yes.
Had to say, this is no longer working for us. We must no longer execute this entire plan.
Yeah, so they did the Doolittle raid, and then they ditched it in, you know. Like, I don't know. Here's my issue with a lot of war movies. Mm-hmm. So the Mel Gibson, man, that is like
14%. Casualties of War or something like that?
No.
We were soldiers.
It was about the...
We were soldiers.
We were soldiers. So the Mel Gibson We Were Soldiers.
Silver.
The problem that I have with that movie, and the problem that I have with a lot of war movies, to include the Pearl Harbor movie with Ben Affleck, is anytime someone dies or something profound is happening, mm-hmm. somebody in the movie has a statement that is like, just tell my wife, I love her. Like, I don't think people die in war with such profound statements, yeah. and you know, and that's like the issue I have with depictions of war is like, anytime something impactful happens, there's like a profound statement by yeah. a character.
Well, I mean, I think I do agree with that. Like, sometimes it's over dramatized.
Yeah,
dramatized.
The dramatization.
And you know, it can seem fake, but I think the slower something happens, the more believable it is. You know, like when in Saving Private Ryan, when the doctor knows that he's bleeding out of his liver.
Yeah.
Like, it's a slow motion death.
Did you see A Thin Red Line?
It's not. Yes. Why does that sound familiar?
It's a war movie about Vietnam.
That's what?
So slow.
So slow.
It's why does it sound? So that sounds painful. Very familiar to me.
Yeah, it's Terrence Malick. No, what's his name?
It sounds very familiar, but yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's the same thing. It's that slow.
But do you think it really is that slow?
In real life?
Yeah.
Sometimes, I think.
I think...
Unless you're getting blown to pieces, I think a lot of people die slow.
I think the lead-up mm-hmm. to any active combat, you would know. I've never been
no,
there.
But what I'm saying, though, is you're... Okay, you get shot, you're dying, you're bleeding out and everything. There's a battle going on around you. Mm-hmm. There's mortar shells, there's shrapnel, there's gunfire, there's all this stuff. Do you think people can take the time to be like, Johnny, what do you want me to tell your wife and kids before you're gone, bro?
Well, no, I mean...
I think people are, like, just dropping F-bombs all left and right center.
Did you ever read the book Into Thin Air?
Krakauer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember Rob Hall calling the base camp and telling him that he wasn't going to try it anymore, that he was giving up?
Yeah.
He was going to die?
Yeah.
And he wanted them to call his wife? So he called his wife in Australia.
From...
While he's dying
I
on
remember
Everest,
that. Yeah.
He names his child with his wife on the phone. And
she's crying.
Everybody in the base camp is like crying and telling him to
come down
the mountain. And he knew he had enough professional knowledge of climbing to say, like, I'm dead in the water.
Yeah, I remember that.
Radio call. So, I mean, to me, that is the true life epitome of what you're talking about.
Okay.
So I think...
However, hold on, excuse me really quick, Ann.
Yes.
However, Ted, I couldn't agree more with that comparison. Uh-huh. However, it is a slow moment in one's life when you are solo on a mountain dying versus a battle raging around you.
Right. It is different. It is definitely different.
But I think they still have that, like, focus at that point.
That's why I talked about the Saving Private Ryan, because in Saving Private Ryan, they are gathered around him, you know, Verbisi, and he's just Giovanni Verbisi, and he's just laying there dying, and it's like this touching moment between all of them, and he doesn't even do the whole mom thing or anything like that, but there's a moment there where you're like, they're all connecting on this very, very deep level.
I think in moments of extreme duress, like when they show it in the movie, when it's like Charlie Brown, boom, 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 and everything else slows down around you. And I only use this, not that Bryce was dying, but in those moments when they were talking to us and they were explaining what was happening, and when I was listening to them, and I took a breath, it felt like time had slowed. And when I turned to look at Ted, it was like TV, like the Bionic Man. And it was like, I'm sure
the
that happened.
$6 million man, the Bionic Woman.
Sorry, I apologize.
Ted, thank you.
Bruce Majors, you. Linda Carter, I apologize.
It's so many names. People screw that up.
Right? Didn't I get that right?
It's no, not
right.
It's not Linda Carter.
Oh.
Linda Carter's
Wonder Carter's Wonder Woman.
Anyway, right. Those people.
At least she's
Lee Majors.
It felt like when I made eye contact with Ted, it really was, wait, what? What are they saying to us?
Yeah.
Are they speaking English? Like, we're prepping the operating room now? It's sort of like...
Yes, the operation happened very quickly.
I think the real time around you is happening, obviously, in real time, but your time is so slowed because you're caught in the reality of what's happening to you. Like, you know that your life is ending, and these are things you need to get out in those last few moments.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I mean, I know Clarissa and I, not to speak for her, but we were in, you know, when Mikey had his surgery and stuff, and then he has, like, you know, I don't know, what was it, Clarissa? Like, he didn't have the flu, but he had, like, fever and...
virus going on and...
Some virus, and they're like, well, we don't know what it is, but we can't release him from the hospital until his...
It was respiratory, so he had, you know, the white blood cells up, so they were hoping it was an infection and stuff.
You know, and he's... They're like, if he was 31 days old, we would send him home with you. But because he's 30 days old, we can't.
28.
Or 28 days, whatever. It was like within a day or two. And we're like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
So then they're like.
I knew he was kind of being sick anyway. So it's just like.
So then.
The time felt slowed down, right?
Oh, well, hold on a minute, though. Okay. So then they're like, well. We don't know what's going on, but if we do a spinal tap,
oh my god,
then you know, and I'm just like, and it's like spinal tap, you know, like everything slows down, right? And you're just like, what, you know,
that's so
like,
crazy,
yeah.
Well, maybe in those moments in war,
maybe I don't know.
You have those...
But what I think, though, is it's like you as the dying person, maybe, but your battle buddy guys who are sitting there trying to, like, stop the bleeding or something, they're just, like, in the minute...
Yeah, no, they're just in focus.
Like, the whole scene doesn't slow down.
You okay?
No, I was stemming your blood flow. I was closing your wound.
That's right.
Trying to help you live.
That's right.
I was in the moment.
But anyway, so get back to Midway. Yes. Get back to Midway. We kind of digressed like ridiculous.
So dying moments, I think, I don't know where you netted out, but I definitely think, I agree, I like that moment.
You do like that in movies?
Yes.
In movies, okay. So you think that having a profound statement in a movie is an important thing? For the audience.
Yeah, I mean, it just encapsulates the feeling of the moment, even though, regardless of what happens in real life, you know, the wise words of Keanu Reeves is, you know, when what's his name? What's his name?
Oh, from the movie.
No, in the late night show. Steve Carell. Who does? Steve Colbert. He's on Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert asks, like, where do you go when you die? And Keanu Reeves says, I don't know where you go when you die, but I know that the people leave you behind can feel it and are affected.
Mourn for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more important for the living and the people that are left than for the person who died.
Right. So if you look at it in a storytelling sort of a way, regardless of whether or not what's going on in the movie is true or accurate or anything,
right. The
writer of the story is imposing or implying
that matches the emotion.
Yeah, that this person dying is going to have... That this is what they're thinking.
At least what they're thinking.
This is what's going on, and we're just going to play out their final thoughts in this scene as if they're just talking to people.
Right. We'll vocalize it.
Right. Okay, I see. Okay, I get it. I'll buy that. So overall, though, I mean, Midway, is this something... Are you into war movies?
I like the photorealism of the
opening totally. Battle scene. That's exactly what I'm talking about,
and,
yeah.
And I think, you know, the same... It's so funny, because this week we did Charlie's Angels, which is 2000, and then Pearl Harbor was 2001, and I don't know, you know, and we talked about... Last week we talked about Tron Legacy, and then the original Tron. So it's like this, you know, 20-plus years...
So you bring up a question then. You know, this is what, like... Well, if you look at D-Day, for example,
yeah,
which is 1944, so that was, what, 75 years since D-Day, mm-hmm, which would be like 79 years since Pearl Harbor...
I don't think it matters from the time of the incident.
So what you're saying is, like, the movie comes out, like, it could be a Civil War movie for us, and it doesn't matter.
Right. What year was Tora, Tora, Tora?
No, I'm saying the actual events, though.
Right.
I think it resonates, and the retelling of the story is important for the new generation.
Yeah, it's true.
So, okay, do you think that, like, Clarissa and I have been to Pearl Harbor and so on, and do you think that it would have ill will on the Japanese in today's generation, or what? I mean, what's the purpose of just to keep the story alive, or what do you think?
I don't know. I think you have a place in history, and I think you... I don't hold, you know... Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Germans are Nazi, you know what I mean? It's like...
Right, it's a different time
and place.
Different time and place.
So it's...
Like, we were in Pearl Harbor, you know, when we were on our honeymoon. That was one of the places we went to, and it was probably, like, I don't know, half Japanese, half American. Right. There was a lot of Japanese there, you know.
It's history.
Yeah, it's history, right.
So my best friend is German, and... Her parents...
Like, she lives in Germany.
Born and raised.
Okay.
And both her parents lost their entire families in concentration camps.
Mm.
So they're German Jews?
No, they're not. But they were Jewish sympathizers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, do I equate her family? Do I equate her with that time period? No. When we lived in Prague and we would go to these places, specifically Dachau, her parents were like, and they referred to us as kids, even though we were grown people at the time, we were in our 30s. They were like, we'll drop you kids off, because Karin and I have been best friends since college. They were
and
like,
that was when your parents were in the military?
No,
and
no, no. This is when Ted was in film school.
No, no, no. But you guys became friends because your parents were in Germany.
No, no. She and I became friends in college. So
I
was in Germany in elementary, middle school, and high school. She and I did not meet until college.
Oh, wow.
And for her parents, it was profoundly, this is history. We must teach the youth of the world the history that took place so that history never
repeats itself. It doesn't repeat itself,
right. So they know what not to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think when you talk about Midway, I don't, personally, from my point of view, I wouldn't look at it as being xenophobic, but I can't speak to the population
to
large.
To the AAPI population.
Yeah.
Asian American Pacific Islanders.
That's right.
There you go. There you go. Woo! Yeah, let's get that. I know. Ted's talked about it all these weeks. Hey, I'll tell you what. If I missed it, fire me.
You're not a good best friend.
I'm not paying attention. I'm not paying attention. But anyway... Just to wrap it up, though, yes. Midway. You going to see Midway?
Probably not. On Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
There's not enough Tuesdays. I mean, come on. There's only 52 Tuesdays.
A lifetime has passed since the horrific events of Taco Tuesday.
Are you not aware of the Tuesday that I saw 3 movies in one day?
Oh, that's true.
Watched an hour worth of trailers in one day.
And you said...
Why am I talking to Ted?
That's right. I am the trailer junkie.
And Anne's watching these trailers today, and I didn't even know she was watching them.
Oh, check it out, though.
That's hilarious.
So... It was like
Anne watches them so that she can heckle me later about how badly I cover.
Check you from the bedroom.
So we're sitting there. We finish up with whatever we were watching, Ant-Man or something, the other night.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, yeah.
Yeah, or Ant-Man and the Wasp, right. You know, or maybe it was Murder Mystery. I don't know which one it was. We did them kind of back-to-back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But anyway, so then, you know, we're on the Roku, and I hit the home button, and I see the movie trailer channel.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Clarissa, there's a movie trailer channel.
Yeah, I know.
So we watch like two movie trailers, whatever. You click it.
Is it a Roku channel?
Yes.
So specifically Roku?
I think it's specifically Roku. It's
just like, so Roku's getting paid for you watching those trailers.
Dude, is that bullshit?
That's awesome.
Dude.
We got to get a piece of that for reviewing the trailers we're watching on Roku.
There you go.
No, dude.
Hey, I know, I gotta send an email. Hey, we're Trailer Junkies Podcast.
Or Netflix, you know. Too. What?
Yeah, how do we monetize this thing?
We're trying to.
But no, so anyway, a movie trailer channel. And that's the title of it. The Movie Trailer Channel.
That was it. Simple.
Anyway.
There all day.
With the Movie Trailer Channel.
Did you ever watch that show on MTV?
The Movie Trailer Channel on MTV?
No, they had a show, Coming Attractions.
Oh,
then they showed half an hour worth of trailers.
That's hilarious.
On MTV.
What was the one we watched? Remember the comedian chick? She was, it was like on Revision for Re when that was a thing.
Mm.
And she would watch, and she had these trailers. She was like this comedian woman. You remember Vision 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Boxy. Remember you used to watch Boxy?
Yes.
Is Boxy a thing? Oh, Boxy's a movie channel?
No, Boxy used to be like, it was like an early OTT, like, it was like...
Going back, Jim.
Like,
what's Tubi or like Pluto?
No, like first in the marketplace, last in the market.
Uh-huh.
Right? It was first in the, like, it was it was this box, and it was, you know, and we were into it, and and all this stuff was on like Boxy, yeah. And, you know, it was like early days streaming of like tech stuff and all this stuff. And,
yep.
And again, it goes back to, like I said, it's like first in the marketplace, last in the market, you know? And then like shortly after that, like Netflix came around and right. Then Prime and like, you know, but like you said, the Pluto and all these other like one-off things, you know, and then all of a sudden like that went away and then streaming exploded.
I made an infographic of like all the streaming services that I could find, and I stopped at 30, but there are still like five more that I found, and I couldn't like keep up.
Make an infographic. If this, then that, then to watch it, and we'll put it on the website.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
We haven't even discussed Apple or quote unquote iTunes movie trailers because I've watched a lot of trailers.
Strictly for iTunes, or what do you mean?
No, iTunes has its typical similar channel.
Oh,
I see.
And it shows all the trailers this in a loop.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, like, with movie trailers and so on, is that these things, like, they're everywhere and ever-present.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of like you become the fan of the platform or whatever it is you're looking at or watching. And it's kind of like a Siskel and Ebert type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that Siskel and Ebert are great. It's that their opinions align with your opinions, so you continue to watch.
Right.
I remember watching Siskel and Ebert as a kid and being like, you guys are morons.
But they're local heroes.
Oh, in Chicago they were, yeah.
It's a comfortability factor.
You had the Tribune and the Sun-Times.
That's right.
Yeah.
The two Chicago papers in their opening sequence.
Exactly, exactly. I watched them all the time, yeah. You know.
I thought Ebert was a genius. I
couldn't agree more.
I think I agreed with Ebert, you know, 700% of the time, and then... He became my taste of movies, you know?
And that's exactly my point, is he becomes your taste of movies as opposed to, like, there's all kinds of movie critics out there, and you could, like, agree or disagree.
Right.
And in the end, it's all just opinion.
I say to Ted all the time, I must have the worst taste in movies because movies that are panned by the critics, I love them. So for me, I'll read reviews, I'll look at trailers, but I don't care.
We get excited when there's like a 20 Rotten Tomatoes or something.
I'm like, yeah. Oh, I totally want to see that because...
We're like, Malachi, we're into it. Right? Mordecai.
But here's the thing. So we're watching Ant-Man and the Wasp. And they're showing scenes from them. Right? You don't know them? The ant movie from the 50s? The giant ant movie from the 50s?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The black and white with the...
Yeah. Yes. They're showing them. Yes. And I'm like, oh my God, Clarissa, it's them. And she's like, what the heck is them? And I'm like, oh, that was like my favorite movie is, you know, I mean, it's terrible 50s sci-fi.
Right.
Speaking of terrible 50s sci-fi, the newest Godzilla that was panned by the critics and hasn't had very good box office.
King of Monsters.
Although we enjoyed it. Good box office success. Like, they're talking about Godzilla of old, and I think they even show some clips from old Godzilla movies, and I'm thinking, whose childhood does not include old our Godzilla movies stomping
around
fake sets?
Yeah.
It's true.
But, you know, I mean, the point I'm getting at is like you said, a Rotten Tomatoes of 20.
Uh-huh.
Them has probably a Rotten Tomatoes of 10, you know? And I'm like, ah, that movie's amazing. But the point I'm getting at is, like, it goes back to when you think about, like, a Marvel has, I don't know, what, $150 million in the first 24 hours? Like, I know I'll get hate mail for this, but, like, that doesn't mean it's good.
Right.
Sure. You know, that just means a lot of people watched it. And...
Do you believe the Netflix numbers?
I don't know. I never saw Netflix numbers.
So Netflix only talks about movies that are, like, high viewer ratings.
Where do they get their numbers from, though?
Internally. They have their own
numbers. Okay, let me back up. Where are they sharing their numbers?
They only share the numbers that they want to share. Mm. So when Bird Box did Gangbusters, they shared the number. When Bandersnatch did Gangbusters, they shared the number.
Yeah.
When Murder Mystery did Gangbusters, they shared the number.
But I wonder...
And then they said, well, what? You're only cherry-picking. You're only sharing the numbers when you want to share the numbers. Why should we even believe you when we should believe you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you could say whatever you want. You have no accountability.
Okay, so when you do a quick search of, like, because we're talking this murder mystery, so one of the first hits back says, Netflix Murder Mystery with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston isn't good, but it was a hit. So that's it. So regardless of...
How many views did
you
say?
If the quality is good or not, they're sharing the quantitative data, the number of eyes on screen.
Yeah.
Well, what else are you going to rate it on, though? Right?
Well, and how do they know? The people who hit play?
That's the thing.
How far do they get in it?
Exactly.
Yeah, you hit play, 10 minutes later, you turn it off. What counts as a view?
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
Give us your metrics, Netflix.
Yeah. How about we get out of here?
We've been 30 million people, just to close out that.
Okay, is that a lot?
Right. Who knows? It seems like a lot.
I mean,
no, 30 million accounts, right? They can't even count people.
Netflix says 30 million people's peoples.
Okay.
30 million people.
And, people. And people. Before we get out of here, Google how many people viewed the last episode of MASH and the last episode of Cheers.
There we go. Okay. That's a good thing.
Those were both great shows.
Yes.
Yeah. And then have, like, we'll see what the numbers are, and then whatever that is...
We'll compare.
Because MASH especially was, back in the day, like, right in the infancy of cable and all that stuff.
They
so,
had, like, the biggest viewing at that point.
Yes.
You know, I mean, a 3-year-old war went, like, 15 years.
160 million for MASH.
Woo! 160
Goodbye, Farewell,
million.
And Amen. Aired on CBS.
What was Seinfeld? What's your guess
February
for Seinfeld?
February 28th, 2018
The last
article.
For Seinfeld?
The last Seinfeld.
65 million.
I was thinking like 80 million.
So, while she's looking it up, what's your opinion of the last episode of Seinfeld? A lot of people don't like it.
I like it. When you have it in the pantheon of final episodes, it's not like the last season of Lost, which kind of let us down. It's not like the last episode of Sopranos, which kind of ended flat. You know what I mean? It had its own... It reconciled itself with itself.
What I liked about the last season, and I agree with you. What I liked about the last season is that it showed the four of them for the assholes that they were.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Essentially, everybody came back to testify how awful these people are.
Right.
And that's what I liked about it.
I think the writing of it was trying to do that. The whole, like, the second half of the existence of Seinfeld was trying to prove to the audience that you shouldn't like these people.
So for 11 seasons, for 11 seasons, six of the seasons was that they're jerks.
I think so. I don't.
But
I don't
isn't that Archie half. Bunker?
Right, wait, exactly. wait. Cheers, 80.4 million. So there's a website
80.
That shows
Damn.
The top 10 most... Okay.
MASH is number one.
MASH is number one.
165?
105.
Oh, 105.
Cheers is number two at 80.
80. That's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Seinfeld was four.
76.
What did I say?
60.
Oh, 65.
65. Yeah.
And what?
80.
80. And it's 76. Price is Right rules, I win!
Did you say Archie Bunker?
Yes.
I did.
That's number eight with 40.2.
Oh, man.
And a lot less TVs in the household back then, too.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. All right. Well, now that we know the last shows and...
One last thing on that.
Because, oh, my God.
Because
one more
you
thing.
Brought up Seinfeld. I saw on, I think, Financial Times or Wall Street this week.
Yeah.
Hulu has purchased the rights for Seinfeld.
No shnikes.
And on top of that, they recreated the set.
Oh no.
In New York City as a Instagram destination.
Oh no.
So you can go to New York.
Wow.
And pay to walk through the set. And when they did the show, when they did the little piece
Holy
on
shit.
It, they yeah. had the soup Nazi.
Oh my God.
Oh,
in
man.
The kitchen.
Taurus trap.
All right, with this airplane, we're out of here.
Bye.
Adios.
Ciao, ciao.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.